Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Those of you who just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, thank you very much for that. Mike Mayberry is our guest and our very good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the president of the Mayberry Group and author of Building the Dream Workforce, one of the smartest guys I know about small business, and he travels all over the country talking to small business owners, helping them to compete with the big guys. And as I say, folks, he's our good friend. Mark, welcome back to the show.
Always a delight to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back. Now, you've been traveling around talking to small business owners, and they've been telling you about their frustrations and some of their success stories on how to go up against the big boxes, haven't they?
Absolutely. I've got a story to share with you this morning. I'm going to go up to Lambeau Field, home of the Green Bay Packers, next week, and speak to the Wisconsin Grocers Association up there. And in preparing for that, I was talking to one of their members. His name is Dave Spiegelhoff. And Dave's had five different grocery stores southwest of Milwaukee in a little town called Burlington, Wisconsin. And he's been doing a very good job, but just like with so many small businesses, they've got the big guys against them, especially one that maybe you've heard of, Jim, called Walmart.
I've heard of that company, yeah.
All right. Well, they, as you know, have expanded into groceries, and they go into towns and just tear the town up when they open up a store and bring their grocery stores into town. And the independents have had just a real struggle all across North America and certainly in Wisconsin. Well, Dave finally said, maybe what we need to do is to listen to our customers.
What?
And try something different.
Alert the media. Where did he get an idea like that?
I'm telling you. What he's done is he's opened up this new concept, a totally new concept, called Gooseberry's Fresh Market. And it goes back, Jim, you remember in the old days, there were a lot of stores that would specialize in meat and produce.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's what he's
going back to. Well, wait a minute. In the original days, that's all people sold. They sold chickens, or they sold beef, sold bread, or they sold eggs. Everybody specialized.
Absolutely.
So he's reverting back to his original components. Is that what you're saying?
And he's doing it because that's what his customers ask for. And he says, Mark, this is not the grocery business. And what the quote that I put down here that I loved what he said, at the end of the day, we want it to be what our customers want it to be. One of the things that I've noticed here in Atlanta, or just every place I go, is it doesn't matter if it's a Tuesday night or a Saturday night. If you go out to eat, you have to wait.
That's right. And it doesn't matter how many new restaurants they make.
That's the thing that I don't understand. And think about who's losing from that. It's the grocery stores.
That's exactly. Oh, yeah. No, there's no question about it. Between Walmart and the restaurants, I wouldn't want to be in the grocery business these days.
It's a challenge. But Dave said that his numbers are above expectations. They just opened it up a couple months ago. And I'm actually on my way up to speak there in Green Bay next week. I'm going to stop and go in the store and take some pictures and get a firsthand look at how somebody has said, you know, it's not working against the Goliaths right now, so let's just radically change what we're doing. And this guy's showing he can be a success at doing that.
Now, what I want you to do for us is I want you to connect us up so we can interview him on the show.
We can do that.
I tell him I want him to be on my show. But I want to come back to something you said a minute ago. You said that he said we listened to our customers and we gave our customers what they wanted, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, but here's a qualifier we've got to add to that. He had to recognize that the customers he's talking about is not every person who buys groceries in America. It's only a certain number of people who want what he is going to give them. Because he's not for everybody, right?
No, nobody can be for everybody.
That's the key, isn't it?
It's one of the major keys, absolutely. You have to, and that's another challenge, Jim, because I was talking to another one of these grocers up in Wisconsin, and here Dave Spiegelhoff has certainly found a way to get niched, and right. The other grocer was saying, well, you know, it's everybody says find a niche, but, you know, that's not as easy as some people make it out to be. You really have to get there and listen to your customers and figure out what they want and then do it. I get so frustrated with my clients across the country in a wide variety of industries because they just want to tweak things, and you can't get by with just tweaking things anymore. You have to really think big.
You got to put an elephant in your living room and turn it upside down and paint it purple, don't you?
Absolutely.
And tell somebody, you know, prove me wrong. There's no question about it. We're going to talk about some more of these big ideas with our good friend Mark Mayberry right after these messages. I'm Jim Blasingame. Here are the Stones to take us out. Drifters, ladies and gentlemen. But when you're walking down that street, welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Mark Mayberry, the co-author of Building the Dream Workforce. Mark, tell us where the book's available, please.
The only place it's available is on my website, which is markmayberry.com.
So check that out, folks. Mark Mayberry, and lots of other good stuff there on your site, too, right, Mark?
Absolutely, and we're totally redoing that. We're going to think big ourselves.
Speaking of big ideas, we're talking about the gentleman that you were mentioning in Wisconsin, who is
Dave Spiegelhoff,
who's decided to figure out how to go up against the big box companies. Here's something that I tell people. I actually have a speech, Mark, or at least it's either a whole speech or part of a speech, depending on what my audience wants. And I call it. I say we should thank Walmart for being there.
Right.
See, I think Dave Spiegelhoff should thank Walmart because what Walmart does is it takes all the people who are only interested in price and gets them out of our hair.
That's right.
And
absolutely.
But when I say thanks, I have to qualify what I'm saying real quickly when I say that in an audience because a lot of them want to storm the stage. You know,
I bet they do.
They throw plates and glasses at me if I don't qualify it very quickly, because a lot of people, there's a lot of bad blood out there for Walmart. And what I tell them is, look, the people who want to buy at Walmart were never going to spend any money with you anyway.
That's right.
What you got to do is make sure you've got a value proposition that makes the people who do want what you have know that there's an alternative to Walmart.
Absolutely. The biggest advantage that an independent has, a small business person, is their flexibility. Walmart can't move on a dime, but a small business person can make a change in 30 seconds.
Have you also noticed that you can't always get the same? I've shopped at Walmart enough to know. And I go there. I only go there about once a year now, literally. I mean, I'm that's the truth, folks. But I have shopped there in the past, Mark, enough to know that if you find something there that you want that you haven't seen before, if you go back for that in a month, it may not be there.
That's right.
And that's one thing that a lot of people want is they find a good product, they want to be able to get it as often as they want it.
And so many smart business people make sure they have things that the customers want that Walmart's not even smart enough to figure out they should have.
My local grocer, I used to ask him for things, and I'd say, you know, can we get this? Can we get that? He'd say, yeah. He said, is that something you use a lot? And I'd say, yes. He said, well, I'll start stocking that. And that was a local grocer. That wasn't Walmart.
Right. That's right. Going back to the thinking big concept, I'll always remember a group of people that are here in Atlanta that they've kind of made me an honorary member. It's the American Rental Association.
Mm-hmm.
And our local chapter here in Georgia gets together, and they had a panel discussion of four retired rental store owners. And at the end of the day, you know, on a panel, everybody kind of, after a while, the first panel member says something, and everybody just kind of shakes their head yes after that. The discussion breaks down. But for the last question of the evening, they had the panel members write down their answers. Now, remember, these guys are retired, but when they were in business, they were extremely successful. The question they asked is my favorite, and that is, what's the biggest mistake you ever made in business? And every one of them wrote it down on a piece of paper so they couldn't hear what the other one was going to say. And they all wrote exactly the same answer, and that was, I didn't think big enough.
Wow.
And that's where independents, where the small business people have to knock out the big guys, is to think bigger than they do.
But when they think, but thinking big, I don't think you mean, though, thinking big the way Walmart thinks big.
No.
Tell us the difference.
We did some real big thinking and totally changed. We rolled the dice. We took a gamble, but it wasn't just a crazy risk. It was a calculated risk. And we went from $3 million to $7 million in 1 year because we thought big.
Mm-hmm. Well, but for us, what we've got to do is make sure that our big plans are built around the little things that we do really well.
Yes.
Like technical service. Like customization. And, you know, I, as you know, Mark, I like to say that Walmart sells commodities, which many small business owners sell commodities too. But they don't customize the delivery of commodities.
That's
they only
right.
give you the commodities at a price, at the lowest price.
And if somebody Lord knows wants they that, don't give any service with it.
Exactly. And if somebody wants more service, meaning they want you to save them time, and they want it customized. They want that thing, that box delivered on the side instead of upright. They got to go to a small business owner to get that. And so we've got to be true to what we can be competitive with, don't we?
Absolutely.
Which are small things, but taking those small things and making them and thinking big, that's a challenge for people, isn't it?
It really is. You have to be able to find that niche and then exploit it.
Mm-hmm.
And by listening to your customers like Dave Spiegelhoff did, that's the answer.
Hold on to that thought, Mark. We're going to take a quick break. We got more big ideas to talk about with our good friend Mark Mayberry. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with me. I'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate in Cleveland, Ohio. Get ready. Batten down the hatches. Buckle your seatbelts. I will be in Cleveland, Ohio this afternoon, and I will be there all the rest of the week through Sunday. Cleveland will never be the same, ladies and gentlemen. The Small Business Advocate is going to be spending almost a week with you. I'm going to be up there with the American Chamber of Commerce executives at their annual conference. Can't wait to meet all my old friends and make new friends. We're going to have a lot of fun. Mark Mayberry is our guest. He's also an old friend of ours and couldn't do without him. We're talking about big ideas, Mark. And what are some other ones that you've heard about?
Well, let's go back to the coming up with the big ideas. It's one of the things that really just frustrates me is working with not just small business people, but people of any organization, no matter what the size, and that is their inability to think big. I'll never forget a friend of mine was doing a strategic planning session, which is something I do for clients, and in the middle of it, they just kind of were getting bogged down, and they weren't thinking big. And so finally, the person that was facilitating this challenged the CEO. He said, you know, is this really the big thinking that you want out of that? And he looked down, the CEO looked down a sheet of the ideas they'd come up with, and he says, you know, I don't see anything here that I would stand in front of a tank for. And it goes back to Tiananmen Square. And that's the kind of commitment a small business owner has to have. You have to be willing to stand in front of the Walmarts and the Goliaths of the world and say, this is the way we're going to do it, and it's going to be successful.
But, Mark, it sounds like you want us to change, and we don't like change.
Nobody likes change, and that's crazy because it's only from the change that you get radically new positive ideas. Yes, you make some mistakes, you slip and fall, but you learn from those. You get up, you dust yourself off, and you move on to an even better idea.
But you know, Mark, you and I grew up in a time when you and I knew people who were able to fall in love with a product or a business model, and not only did they make a living their whole life with that model, but their fathers and their grandfathers had made a living with that their whole lives. And so it was a century, much of the 20th century, at least the first three-fourths of the 20th century, and for centuries before that, people could fall in love with whatever they did. But the world is changing so fast today, Mark, we don't even need to fall in like with what we do.
No, you're right.
And there are still a lot of people out there, though, who want to fall in love with what they do, don't they?
They really do, and it's so comfortable because you get good at something. We went from 3 million to 7 million, Jim, and the big mistake I made there is I got to the point that I tried to just hold on to what I had because everything was pretty good.
Like that golfer who lost because he tried to hold on to his lead?
Yes, yes. In fact, I just played in the men's championship over here this weekend in senior division, and a good friend of mine that actually went to the same high school I did up in Illinois, he won the thing. He got into a playoff, and on the first playoff hole, he hit a terrible second shot. He hit an even worse third shot, and he looked at me and says, I'm trying to win this thing. I'm just not sitting here relaxing and doing what I normally do.
Uh-huh.
You know, you get caught up in the I gotta, and just relax and go with what you do well, and he ended up on the third pole winning the thing.
You think some people trying to protect what they do so much, they actually miss opportunities?
I think 99% of the people are guilty of that, and the other 1% and all of the 99% are guilty of looking at what the competition is doing, and they say, oh, no, instead of saying, okay, they're doing that, so I can do this.
That, in my opinion, is one of the cardinal sins of the marketplace, is focusing on the competition. I wrote a couple of articles about that, and I coined a syndrome, Mark, that I call the customer, what customer syndrome.
Right.
And that's where people focus so much on the competition, they don't focus on their customers.
Absolutely. I think they get caught up in what's going on and what the competition is doing and not, you know, we have to correct the mistakes you're making, Jim, but where people absolutely miss a boat is whatever they're successful at, they need to look at that and do it even better. Instead of looking at the mistakes and all the challenges, look at what you're doing right and figure out how you can do that even better because you are the expert in what you're doing right.
Could we agree, Mark, as we wrap up today, that if you want to know where your next big idea for your business, the next big direction for your business is going to come from, your customers have it?
The customers absolutely have it.
But we got to make sure that we know that we're talking to our customers, not everybody in the world.
Let's go back to the grocery store quickly. I'm at a grocery store here, and it's one of the big chains. And when I check out, they say, did you find everything you need? And if there's some item I was looking for that I didn't find, I'll say, well, I didn't see the Hershey syrup this month or this week. Nobody writes anything down. Nobody turns it in. The leadership never figures out what the customers
are saying.
That's
the reason I like Mark, folks. He and I both like Hershey's chocolate syrup. Hey, thank you, Mark, for being here. Good job today.
It's been fabulous.
We'll see you next time.
All right.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, Cleveland. I'm coming to see you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.